What's up, guys? Faruqi Bros here, back with another Built Different stream. And today for you guys, we're going to be talking about maybe two or three major topics between new releases and the conclusion to the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So let's just get right into it. I'll start with Elvis. So Elvis just came out this weekend. We can quickly discuss kind of me and Zan in a quick round. In a quick roundtable format, we can discuss what we thought about it. But I'll start off. So for me, you know, I personally thought Elvis was pretty fantastic. Honestly, I thought from a directing level, it was great. I thought from an acting level, in particular, between Austin Butler and Tom Hanks, I thought you just had two spectacular performances that really drove. I'm losing my point, but I'm trying again. So it really drove like these characters to a realistic level. And I tweeted about this yesterday, and I said that an actor is playing the role good when the line between the actor himself and the character is blurred. So at this moment, Austin Butler, I think, is the absolute front runner for best actor across, I think, all categories. I think I'd be very surprised if someone else wins best actor for any film this year. I know maybe Samir, I mean, or Umar probably thinks that Benedict Cumberbatch was best actor for Doctor Strange, but I'm personally going with Austin Butler. But from a technical level, I think just brilliantly directed. I think the score was great. Obviously, what you're doing a movie about Elvis, the score has to be good. I think all the performances were good. I think, again, directing was perfect. Editing was really good. The only gripes I had with it was a bit long. I think it felt like you really felt the 2 hours and 40 odd minutes that this movie was. Other than that, I thought the movie was absolutely great. It's in my top three movies of the year so far. Let's see if by the end of the year, if it still stays, in my own projections, I feel like it's going to be a top five movie this year. But this isn't a movie that's going to get a lot of box office, I think. It did 30 million, which is good. But I think between Top Gun and Jurassic Park and Lightyear, there's stiff competition right now in the box office. But really, this movie is not going for the box office. It's really going for the award cycle. This is a movie that's going to be in contention for Best Picture, in contention for Best Actor, Best Director. So whether it wins all of them, I'm not sure. But I do think for Best Actor, it certainly has a leg up. And as someone who has one vote for Critics' Choice, I definitely will keep Austin Butler top of mind when it comes to that voting cycle for 2023. So, Zian, I mean, what did you think about, just briefly, I mean, what did you think about Elvis?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all the points you said. I think just on a film level, it was made, directed very well. And Austin Bell did an amazing job. And actually, his performance so well that it gets me even more excited for Dune Part 2, because since he was casted like as a major villain in that movie now, at first I was like, oh, who is this unknown actor? You know, is he going to work? Is he going to be good? But now after seeing Elvis, he can really act and perform very well. So now that makes me more excited to see what he'll do in Dune Part 2. And he just did a great job, and I think the movie was really well executed.
Yeah, you brought a good point about Dune Part 2, because remember when they first cast Austin Butler for that movie, remember his competition was literally Robert Pattinson. It was a few other people, but Robert Pattinson was one of the people in contention for that role. But to give it to Austin, I think Denis Villeneuve definitely saw something from Elvis. Obviously, he has inside track on what's happening in that movie. They're both Warner Brothers films, so I'm not surprised that they were very interested in him. And I think he's going to launch into superstardom, I think, after this movie. I think he has a big, very good career ahead of him, and I think this movie was a very good role for the guy. So I expect a Best Picture nominee to come, but that's kind of my main thoughts. I think really for this, as we continue to kind of build like the cinema debate, the cinema part of cinema debate, I want to at least tend to highlight in the beginning of the stream like a big movie that came out that maybe is not our normal forte or maybe our audience's forte, but to give you guys a chance to think about it. I mean, obviously Elvis is a biopic, so there's not really anything I can spoil about it, just his life. But if you're interested, you can always go check it out, you know, and see how you feel. So, I think we can probably end it there and jump straight to...
Also, speaking of cinema, Top Gun reached 1 billion worldwide, which is amazing.
Well, it's, I actually had that as my third topic, but we'll actually switch to it first since you brought it up. So I was going to make a point about Top Gun Maverick passing $1 billion, something that a non-superhero movie hasn't done for quite a bit of time. And I'm wondering, maybe I can open up to you guys, like Umar and Samir, like what does, I mean, it's obviously healthy for cinema. I think that non-superhero movies, non-Star Wars movies can do $1 billion. Actually, forget, I'm not even asking any questions. I'll keep it to myself. But I think that it can only be good. Like, it could only be good that a movie, well, unless maybe we have something to say about it, like it reaching a billion. Do you have a specific point?
No.
Yeah, so point just, yeah. It's just good for parody. Parody's sake, I think we've gotten so used to the MCU formula, and by we, I mean general audiences, that if a movie isn't a CGI spectacle, then it's not going to do good money, you know? And even movies that are CGI spectacles or big sequels like Jurassic World aren't going to hit a billion. For the fact that Top Gun, a legacy sequel, is doing that much money is a really big testament to kind of like what, like Tom Cruise in particular, like how committed he is to getting this, getting cinema back on a track. Obviously, he's someone who's very anti-streaming. We've discussed so many times, especially over the course of the heydays of the pandemic, we discussed how streaming versus theatrical, that was a very common debate for us. But this kind of stuff shows that even we, like I'll be the first to admit that I was probably wrong when the pandemic was going on. I thought that the theatrical market is really starting to die out in favor of streaming, but it looks like based on things like Top Gun, based on things like Elvis, it will obviously, we don't know exactly how it's going to do it at 30 million, which is pretty good. I think there actually is a good middle ground where people will go to theaters and still embrace streaming, and not one or the other will cannibalize each other. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with Fatma that I don't think it's going to be in contention for best picture or anything, but I do think it's going to win some practical awards for sure. Across the board. I want to transition from here straight into Obi-Wan. I know the prompt will say, where can Obi-Wan go in season two? But rather, I want to talk about how Obi-Wan was as a series. And Umar, I want to start with you on this one because you are the resident, I guess, Vader fan, but you're the resident Star Wars fan, I guess, from all four of us. So even though Zian is wearing the Star Wars shirt today. But Umar, what did you think about Obi-Wan Kenobi as a whole?
Well, I think once it was announced, it was like a good, as Jan already starts laughing, I haven't even said anything yet, but
it was comments.
But basically, once it got announced, I think it wasn't a surprise. They were always, I think Ewan McGregor said that they were going to always like do something, and that he already knew even when he was answering questions about it and saying like, oh, I don't know yet, whatever. They already had plans. I think it was planned as a movie first. And I think for me, as far as the series is concerned, yeah, there's parts of it that are mid, and there's parts of it that are not great. And I think anytime they focused on Obi-Wan and Anakin, it was like the best of the best, right? That this Star Wars has to offer. But anytime it detracted from that, it was not, I guess, just not too great. I know that you guys are going to mention about like the whole budget and all that. But I think because I'm biased, and I am biased, like I'm not here to make a very objective media critic literacy type of thing. I'll let Charles do that. For me, I think it's one of the better shows. And for me, it is the best show. For me, I loved it.
For your opinion, it's the best Disney Plus show so far. So like, the sample size is Mandalorian, Boba Fett, Kenobi, WandaVision, Loki. So do you think it's the top of the line compared to that group?
Yeah, for me. I can see that maybe.
Yeah, I want you to stand on your conviction on this one because I want you to take that position hard. Like, go for it. Like, you think Obi-Wan's the best? I want you to stand on that because then it'll let the others like kind of
find. Well, I think Obi-Wan is the best only because the thing is those characters don't exist in a vacuum, right? So they're built upon, like Anakin Skywalker's stuff is built upon for three movies, right? So when Obi-Wan is talking to him as Vader, definitely like Shraz is making this point privately to me that, well, like it's built upon other projects, right? But the thing is nothing exists in a vacuum. Like Loki also doesn't exist in a vacuum. Loki in and of itself is obviously garbage. Like it's trash, just like everything else. If you just see it as, oh, like this is its own thing, right? They these characters are built. So for me, the one scene where Anakin and Obi-Wan get a chance to talk to each other, even though it's like 30 seconds, not even, it has the emotional weight that that scene has. For me, it makes everything else breathable. Like, it makes everything else that maybe isn't as good, even things like the budget and visuals and this and that, like, it makes it okay, right? For me, that's the way I'm, that's my paradigm that I'm looking at the series through, even though it's not objective. And I personally, I don't even believe, maybe this is like a debate for another stream or another video, but I don't believe you can do it objectively. Like, you already have, it's art. You're going to be subjective. So because I'm coming at it from that viewpoint, I can easily say Kenobi's way better. It's way better than both, I'll tell you that. And it's way better than Mandalorian. I actually watched Mandalorian, the first like six, seven episodes. I'm watching it still. I didn't get through it. So I still have a ways to go. But as far as the episodes I watched, yeah, Kenobi's better. It's much better.
I think, let me just say one point before Samir goes, is that what you made about the point of the characters like being in like a vacuum and stuff like that. I think the point that Charles is making that, well, for me personally, before I just preface that, I think that moment of Anakin and Obi-Wan in that final fight and that interaction was, that singular scene was better than anything in any other Disney Plus show. But I think the argument that Charles was making was that the emotional weight is only there if you have the knowledge or have seen the other movies prior. But like when you compare to the other shows though, like Loki or WandaVision, you don't necessarily need to know so much or have seen everything. I think there's an echo going in the background, but you don't need to have seen everything to have that emotional weight of the show itself. But for Star Wars, that scene was only made greater if you knew what the characters have been through, if you watched the movies, if you knew the story. And I think that's what Strauss's argument was, that.
But that's what the show is. That's what the show is, though. That's the thing. Like, Obi-Wan is sandwiched in between episode 3 and episode 4. That's what the intention of the show is. It's not made for. It's
also,
not,
by the way, you guys didn't tell me that my mic was bad. I was on my headphone mic and not my Yeti. You guys didn't notice it. That's why I was, when you mentioned the echo, I was like, why isn't my Yeti working? And yeah, that's why I just switched to it. So my voice should be much clearer now. But Umar, go on.
It's better. Yeah, it's more clear now. I noticed the difference. But what do you call it? I don't even know what the hell I was saying now.
Either way, but Samir, I want you to jump in now, but I feel like you'll have the most different reaction to Umar's like point about the show. So what did you think about Obi-Wan as a, what did you think about Obi-Wan as a series?
Obi-Wan, it's unfortunate. Okay, but the show is just mid. Overall, it was so mid. Some parts were really great. I think the last episode was really good. But overall, the show had so many problems. Anytime Vader wasn't on screen, or anytime Obi-Wan just wasn't doing nothing, the show was not that good. The main arc wasn't even good of the whole show. Reva was not that great of a character. Even her redemption wasn't that. Like, you don't really care about her character. Even when she's redeemed, it's like, it's not even really that good.
I hate him.
I think the best thing the show did in the last episode is that it helped bridge Hayden Christensen's Anakin with Vader in the suit, because I feel like Anakin in the prequels and Vader in the suit have never really felt like the same person until this episode. I think this episode did it really well. The writing did it really well. And that fight was great. That fight is one of the best scenes in all of Star Wars, but the show overall is just not that good. It's very mid, very mid.
Samir, do you agree with Fatima that for you everything is mid? Like, when is the last time you praised something?
I mean, I saw everything everywhere all at once. That was so good.
So there you go. This
is just not that. Right, I think so, it's the
Disney effect. Samir's in slideshow mode right now.
but you came out clearly, so I heard everything you said. But I agree with one point you made.
I personally think that take makes no sense. But go ahead, Charles. That take makes no sense. It's not the intention of the project.
I agree with Samir's point. It was carried only when Anakin and Obi-Wan really like the front and center characters together.
I agree with some things said, but I disagree with others. The things I agree with is what he said, that this show allows the bridge between Anakin and Vader to feel more realistic, because you got to see that transition between the two characters. Because he does have a, because three movies were made in the 1980s and 70s, and three movies were made in the early 2000s with different actors playing both characters. Obviously, James Earl Jones and Hayden Christensen. Of course, there was the guy in the suit. I forgot his name, but he didn't have many roles out of 1 second at episode six. But because there's two different roles happening, three really who played the character, to make the switch in your mind that he became that guy, like this general, and he's like pointing fingers, he's like, you know you are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor, you know, like that's how he talks in those original movies. Like he's like a 40-year-old war general, and that's what he acts like in those movies. And in the prequels, he's like a whiny teenager who just is feeling very angsty, but then goes through multiple tragedies which leads him to go to the dark side. You know, like he loses his mom, then the fear of losing his wife leads him into the dark side, right? So it's one of those weird things. But I want to take some comments, right? So first, I'll start with my wife. So she said that Obi-Wan is amazing altogether. I don't particularly care about the issues because everything else weighs so much more to me than the issues that were out of the creators and actors' hands. Uzi says Obi-Wan is whack. I can tell from the name. So like this means
what were the issues that was out of the creators and actors' hands?
I think she means the budget. So like budget or production quality, that's Disney's problem for not giving them budget.
The only place where I think I agree with that, but the only one place where I disagree, and I made this point in the last stream, is that the score wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It was okay. But yo, you have so much better. You already have the score. Why do you have to redo it? You have such a good score.
That's very true. Yeah, they just the refusal, the pointed using of all the scores for every single trailer and even every single TV spot and every single small trailer they put out for Obi-Wan is always using the scores. I don't know if it's a legal thing because technically those scores were made not during the Disney era. So maybe there's some legal reason that they can use it for social media purposes, but they can't use it in the show. I don't know, because there must have been a reason. They use Imperial March for 5 seconds, which is like Vader's theme. And they use Leia's theme for 5 seconds in the end of episode six. But they were really picking and choosing when to use scores. And obviously John Williams did return to create the Obi-Wan Kenobi score because he always said that he never got a chance to create Obi-Wan's theme song, either in prequels or originals. George Lucas never told him to create a song for him. So in this show, he has a theme, and it plays every time Obi-Wan does something, especially in the first episode, but also in the end of the sixth. He has a theme. And I like Obi-Wan's own theme. I just think everything else I don't think
Obi-Wan's theme, like think about Star Wars, the soundtrack and the music. It no matter what it is, it's so iconic, but this one, it just so forgettable, which is
iconic isn't created in one day.
No, but it doesn't even stay in your head. Like I can't even hum it in my head. I don't even remember
it's not a hummable score, but I think every time I did play, I recognized right away this is Obi-Wan's theme. Like, you know, I always knew when they started using his theme.
Every other score is humble in your head in Star Wars. Except this one is forgettable.
Not really. I mean, the thing is the prequel score, which is the same really as the other scores.
And even those are by repetition. Because we watched
we've watched those scenes a million times. That's the thing. And I think that like there's a, again, like I said, like there's really a YouTube video where people have rescored the Obi-Wan Anakin fight. And honestly, it's a million times better. It's so much better. Even the emotional scene between them, they rescored it, and it's a million times better than what we got in Obi-Wan. So the score for me is an L. That's a huge L.
I agree. The score for me, if I had to criticize the series, I actually didn't go yet. And it's funny because both Zian and Umar were debating a point that I never made on stream. I made it yesterday night. So our audience doesn't know what I'm saying. So, but I had a point last night in our private talk when we were just kind of prepping for today's stream where I mentioned that I mentioned the point of nostalgia, which we've discussed many times for both good and bad. And I mentioned that, look, for things like The Flash, right? And The Flash obviously has a myriad of problems. But I mentioned The Flash in this context. Michael Keaton's coming back as Batman. But for us, that didn't mean anything. And the reason is because we were never the audience for Michael Keaton's Batman. We were not born. Well, yeah, I wasn't born even Michael Keaton was Batman for both his two movies, and neither were us, as the rest of you guys. So when he was Batman, you're speaking to the 80s audience. Now, who's the most excited for Michael Keaton returning for The Flash or for Batgirl? It's the people who were born in the 80s, right? So they're going to find some kind of enjoyment in that movie that we're not, because we have no connection to that. Now, Same thing with when Superman Returns, when they started delving into Christopher Reeve, or even Justice League 2017, if beyond be honest, where they kept pushing us into Christopher Reeve territory. It wasn't for us because we don't – I love Christopher Reeve, but he wasn't our Superman, so we don't care that much. Though we care about the people who grew up with it, because the impact that things have on your childhood will never have the same as when you're an adult. Which is iconic nature. What we think it's iconic because we were children when it was happening, and for us, nothing – it will feel better to you than childhood, because that's your happiest moments of your life. So anything you saw in childhood will always feel better too. Everything you ate in childhood is better. Everything that you watched from childhood looks better. It's just how nostalgia works, which is why it's such a cash cow. The problem is now all those 90s kids are grown up. Those 90s kids have jobs now. They have money now, and they're ready to spend. So now they're making products, Spider-Man No Way Home, Matrix, Matrix 4, I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi, where you're bringing characters and things back from our childhood to the front of the screen, so make us happy. And guess what? It makes us want to like it, spend more money on it, consume it, which is what we did. Like you guys were, you and Samir waking up every day till 3 a.m. to watch the show, is because it's not because of the show's quality, it's because it touched on those childhood memories of playing with lightsabers and battling and everything. It all comes back in that moment and makes you want to stay up to watch it, which is exactly what Disney wanted to do, right? So that's why I go back to what Umar was talking about, the media literacy and criticism, is because when you look at Obi-Wan now, it's so difficult to take that out of your mindset because it's our thing. But we can do it for anything else. Like, we'll watch The Flash and feel zero nostalgia for Malachi, and we'll just look at it for what it is and we'll say this is bad or good, right? Depending how it goes. Because we have nostalgia. But if you have nostalgia, then you look at it from that lens. So that's why I get back to Obi-Wan, my thoughts on it. I overall like the show. And episode 6, I was close to crying. Like, when Obi-Wan was apologizing to Anakin. Like, I have the photos right here. I'll pull it up. Like this stuff, like, come on. Like these moments, like, I was like, it was a tearjerker. So, but I also realized that, am I feeling emotional because of anything the show did the prior 5 episodes? I was feeling emotional because 20 years ago, I saw Anakin burn and Obi-Wan walk away. And I felt like he just made amends for that. And for me, it's actually been 17 years in real time between seeing that apology. So it hits so much harder than if it's just like an MCU next movie, they apologized, right? This is 17 years actual gap, and the same actors are standing on set and they're doing that scene. So for us, the emotional weight is so high that almost nothing else, we were completely blinded from anything else, which is fine. It's natural. But if we're going to hold ourselves to the standard where nostalgia is okay for us, then it has to be okay for everyone else. Then suddenly, Superman Returns, we can't look at it the same way because it was good for the people who love nostalgia, right? So I'm just saying, if there's a standard...
Wasn't good for people who love nostalgia, though? Superman Returns wasn't. He wasn't Christopher Reeve in any way. He didn't smile. Christopher Reeve was a happy Superman. Superman Returns, Superman was more depressed than Henry Cavill.
I agree, but from canon, he is Henry Cavill. Like, Henry, he is Christopher Reeve Superman, though. That movie is a sequel to the Christopher Reeve movies. Like, it's canon.
He's kind of bad, though. He's kind of bad, though. Like, he's legitimately... no one legitimately ever makes the case that Superman Returns somehow brought them back to their childhood. No one ever makes that case ever. Like, that's not a thing that ever happens.
So Uzi brings up that, I was a child when Obi-Wan came out and I don't like it. Well, that's because you're a bozo. But beyond that, it's like, that's not your thing. But one day you're going to look back and be like, oh, yeah, I love Fortnite or whatever you kids do. 20 years from now. I forgot what's the culture of the current kids.
But we're not blinded by nostalgia because we have objectively said that, okay, this and that are what's wrong with Kenobi.
That's what I'm saying.
It just happens to be that the two best characters are Obi-Wan and Vader himself. And anybody would agree with that, nostalgia or not.
We agree that Vader is the greatest villain of all time in anything ever. So
okay, I agree with that. But I was just putting in context of when we're debating what's better, Mandalorian or Obi-Wan, right? If you put it in that context. Again, it's hard because we're having two conversations. We had a conversation last night that's bleeding into this conversation.
I'm saying
Mandalorian, it's better. Mandalorian is better made, but again, that singular moment between those two characters, even just strip away nostalgia, just in Star Wars, like, universe, is better than any moment in Mandalorian.
Which for me is enough to make it the better show. That's all I'm saying. For me, like, the characters, it matters who the characters are. I don't care about Mandalorian. I'll never care about Mandalorian the way I care about Anakin or Obi-Wan. And it doesn't technically matter that they built up to it for 20 years, and that's fine. That's okay. It's the same. It's very similar to how the MCU fans feel about Avengers Endgame. Avengers Endgame is not a better movie than Infinity War. It's not, right? But the last act is so much better than anything in Infinity War that, yes, you can make the case. I made this case when Avengers Endgame came out, right? I was like, oh, you know what? The last act is so good that for me, I think Endgame's a little bit better, right? And then I got back to my senses slowly, which will happen with Kenobi eventually too, right? But right now, for now, I'm saying it's better than all those other shows. And to be honest, I don't have the same qualms that Samir does with all the other characters, right? Reva, I think the last episode, it that scene with Obi-Wan was actually very good. Like, it did redeem her. Like, she has a specific story, right? She was a youngling. Anakin tried to kill her. Then there's some parts of it that are dumb. For example, Anakin stabs her. He stabs her again as Darth Vader, and she somehow lived again. Like, that stuff, yeah, that stuff is whatever. But every Star Wars movie has that. And also, the MCU has that too. The whole thing about Thanos having the his whole motive is stupid. It's dumb. But we let it go, and he's still seen as one of the better villains in comic book movie history or whatever. Because these are things that are just like, it's whatever. At the same time, you have to just kind of weigh what you think is better, right? And for me, Obi-Wan is pretty good. Pretty solid. Also, the Leia stuff I haven't even gotten to, but like, they bridged things. They did what they were supposed to. The intention of the show was to bridge things. And like, they did a pretty good job of bridging everything.
Yeah, I think Samir might disagree. I might disagree with this. So I was going to jump in and ask him. Because I personally think Leia was actually a good character, and I actually enjoyed her role. And I think it made the episode 4 better as a result. Episode 4 of Star Wars, not episode 4 of Obi-Wan. But Samir, did you think the Leia character was overall done well? I know the first episode you thought it was not that great between the running and stuff, but do you think by the end, like, it was a good arc for her?
Yeah, Leia was fine. I think the problem with the story is that they couldn't write it properly for them to bridge any scenes together, for them to bridge the story together. And like the running specifically, that was the dumbest thing ever. And then she went to, I mean, they were running away, right? And then they ran to Vader. And then it's like they wrote it so that Obi-Wan could run to Vader, and then they didn't know how to write out of it. So they had to do the robot thing again. The robot thing where he's like, the robot picks him up and he's walking out. It's like, it's poorly written. I see what they're trying to do, but for some reason they couldn't write it enough for them to do anything.
Every Star Wars movie ever. Every Star Wars movie ever is literally that.
No Star Wars movie is really good. We've agreed on
exactly
that is facts. Yeah, no Star Wars. That's what
I'm saying. Okay, but yeah. I'm saying that's how that is the theme of the whole thing. The freaking good guys, they get put in a place, they run away, done, and then they have
another. Yeah, no, but I will agree with Samir.
Literally, that's
yeah,
not like that.
True, Samir is right.
It's bad every time.
No. But this show has a screenplay problem. Not a script problem too, but really has a screenplay problem, meaning what's happening on screen and how it's being written. Because Samir is right. Always there's some kind of like last second strange exit that only happens in this show. And it's fine doing it once a series, but you did it 3 times in one series. Second episode, How do Obi-Wan and Leia escape from Reva? They jump into that cargo ship, and then she's like screaming. He's like, Obi-Wan, I'll get you. It's like, you go right there. And then the next episode, they escape from that Vader's, like, Reva's, like, dungeon, or that was maybe the episode after that, like, the Vader's castle or wherever they were, the Inquisitor castle, rather. And then, again, like, just like a, like, the rebel comes in and he shoots and they run away. This is like a base. They have like 50,000 missiles, but they just did it. And then the worst, in my opinion, is the one where Vader is just like, does like a whole dramatic, you know, like pulling the Star Freighter out of the sky. And there's like a secret one under, like runs away. And I'm like, and he doesn't start try that one. Like, I don't know. It keeps happening. And of course, Samir's mentioned the worst one, which is the one where a very, very slow moving robot picks up Obi-Wan and takes him away, where Anakin's in pure rage in the middle of his torture session.
They're kind of like an open field too. So like, where'd they hide? The stormtroopers everywhere. You know, how did they run away?
The fire was only like one, like maybe like 10 feet of fire. He could go each way.
He could have just jumped it, to be honest.
And there's so many stormtroopers, and Vader could have used the force and just brought him back. So it's fine. You can make it though. Maybe Vader wanted him to go, or he's
scared. Listen, it was plot armor.
There you go. He wanted to torture him more. So he's like, "Ah, whatever. We'll have
our day." But then he's so angry at Reva for letting them escape. So like, what is it? Do you want her to? Do you want them to escape or not?
He wants both. He's confused. Anakin's confused.
So Fatma's throwing a match into the continued fire, saying, "How did Dark Vader Anakin even redeem himself? He didn't. I firmly believe he didn't redeem himself. He didn't work on redemption and making things right, like the Resistance woman, or now Reva. So, is Anakin properly redeemed at the end of Episode 6 or no? And Episode 6 of not the show of this movies.
He was dying, so he couldn't do any. I mean, we don't know how he turned out, and I actually think they should show him. They should show a good Force ghost. Like they should use that."
Because I'm saying, he needs to like literally make amends as a Force ghost, like even to Ahsoka. If he says like, Ahsoka, that's after Episode 6, so it's been a while, but he could still be like, oh, you know, like we have to watch out, don't make the mistake. Or if he's talking to Luke, like, don't make the mistakes I did, watch out for this. You know, like that. I still want a Luke talking to Anakin scene post, like, do it in a Mandalorian season 3, or do it in Ahsoka. If Ahsoka and Luke meet in that series, do it. You know,
isn't there a comic where Anakin comes as a Force ghost and talks to Leia, and she doesn't forgive him.
Yeah. But like, that was like a pre. Yeah, that was like the pre-canon comic, so before Disney.
If they do a Vader series, they could go different ways with it. But honestly, like him just talking to his kids, that would be a big thing. Like,
yeah, and that's why I want a Luke. I want a Luke talking to. And again, man, I can talk about nostalgia because I was gonna say like, oh, look how bad the sequel trilogy treated the prequels. Because when you could pick, like, in my opinion, they did Anakin so dirty in the sequel trilogy because they only cared about Vader. And they almost like JJ and Rian Johnson, they just forgot that Anakin exists. Just that, oh, Vader. And it's just about how much Kylo Ren is obsessed with Vader. If you're doing 3 movies of Kylo Ren being obsessed with Vader, imagine Anakin's Force ghost shows up at the end of Episode 9 instead of Han Solo. I get that he's Han Solo, but if Anakin showed up and said, you've been looking at this the wrong way, like I was wrong, you're following the wrong example, that'd be sick. But they didn't do it. And then, or alternatively, if when Obi-Wan, when Luke Skywalker is at his worst and the tree's burning and all that stuff's happening, they picked Yoda. In my opinion, you should have brought Ewan McGregor and brought Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan was Luke's true master and teacher. Yoda was his teacher for one day. So that's, I think, a mistake again. Or even with Anakin. Let us see Mark Hamill next to Hayden Christensen for an actual canon scene. And it's never going to happen again. Because now if they ever do it, they're going to pick that. They're going to do the CGI Mark Hamill and not like the real Mark Hamill. Otherwise, The Last Jedi was picture perfect for Hayden to meet him. But they don't care, you know? But guess what? It wasn't made for us, right? They only cared about the original trilogy fans. So we looked at it from an skewed perspective. Maybe
the sequels are so bad. They're so bad.
But
they're literally the most
first of all thing. Samir loves the Rise of Skywalker, so I don't know why you're insulting him.
Yo, but don't even get me started on Rise of Skywalker. Hate that movie.
Last Jedi
is the best of the sequels.
Last Jedi is top 3 Star Wars movies.
For you, it's top 1, but whatever.
No, it's not top 1. It's Revenge of the Sith, Empire Strikes Back, Last Jedi. Then I'll even go further. Then it's Attack of the Clones. Then it's the other ones.
Yeah, the other ones are pretty bad. I try to rewatch them. They're pretty bad.
Palpatine and Anakin's Force ghost in a sand prison. You know, almost thought it would be that true.
Yo, the hell?
Is that so Fatma's still going, saying that he isn't redeemed, he doesn't deserve to be a Force ghost either. I love Anakin in Episode 3. I'm sorry if someone acted out. Order 66 killing younglings to save his baby requires a lot more to redeem. But that was Obi-Wan. So in canon, Obi-Wan's the one who chose to help Anakin become a Force ghost. So that's just, you know, Star Wars logic. The Last Jedi actually tried to do something.
I mean, it wasn't Anakin. Was it? It was Vader, right?
It was. Listen, they made it. I, you know, I told this to Fatma a few days ago when we had this conversation. I said that Anakin and Vader are 2 different people. So they're not the same in me opinion.
Anakin changed as soon as he killed the Windu, it was over. Like he switched. It was done. It was over.
Yeah, someone
he cried for a second. He cried for a second, and then as soon as his eyes changed. Also, I hate people that hate Hayden Christensen. That scene was not a bad scene, okay? He changes when he flips, That's what it is. He just became Vader. He's changed now. He's a different guy. And he and that acting was sick. I don't care what anyone says.
No, no. Hayden deserves his flowers that he didn't get 20 years ago. Everyone mauled him for his performance, called him the worst actor. Everyone made fun of him. His acting career got derailed. He barely showed up in any roles for the next 17 years. Now he made his return. I hope they give him a sequel series and give him things to do. I'm not sure if he's going to return to acting like in other roles, but I think they should give him more to do with Vader. Why not? Especially Obi-Wan's doing good numbers. I know.
We actually have numbers because I know the first episode was like the most watched.
No, Obi-Wan, yeah, it's outperforming. I think it was outperforming most of the other Disney Plus shows. I could be wrong. Disney's kind of finicky with releasing official numbers.
Promise it doesn't have a lot of competition. I guess Ms. Marvel, but not really.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel is not doing any numbers either, unfortunately. But that's on Disney for releasing two shows in one day, which I had a mini rant about last week, so I'm not going to go into it. But it's like if someone goes and commits a crime and says, oh, that's not me, Henry, it was George or whatever names.
Isn't that the whole plot of Moon Knight?
That's true. That is the whole plot of Moon Knight.
No, I think with this one though, it's part of the story.
In this thing, remember, there's a mythical, magical. There's a magical thing called, you know, the Force, and that is fake. So if you leave the dark side, it will consume you. You know, I was just joking about the sand prison. It's a weird choice not to involve Anakin at all, and that all the opportunities. Yeah, they had three movies to put six movies in context, and they only cared about the original trilogy. That's why I'm most angry at the
J.J. Abrams should have never been involved in the
process. That was a mistake. And if it was J.J. involved, they should have had a lot of oversight the way like the MCU does. Kevin Feige watches over everyone like no one can get out of the comfort zone. But Star Wars, they're like, do whatever. Which I get it, for director freedom is good, but you kind of like, you even, it was so unorganized that even the directors within this trilogy were not compatible. Like Rian Johnson and JJ were doing completely opposite things, and then JJ came back for episode 9 and undid everything that Rian Johnson did and just completed it very quickly. He's like, so because Rian Johnson left the series at Ray's a nobody, this is happening here, this is happening here, this is the stuff, that, and he left it at Kylo becoming fully evil because he did not redeem himself when Obi-Wan showed up, and when Luke tried one last time to redeem Kylo, it didn't work. So it ended at, oh, we're not heading towards a redemption arc. But instead, because JJ wanted to copy everything that episode 6 did for the last movie, it was just like, oh, Ben turned good now, guys. Oh, he died just like Anakin did, just like Vader did. Like, it's like the same story, you know? It's the same story. So
also, one thing that doesn't make sense is the whole freaking Star Wars thing is based off of Anakin Skywalker being the chosen one. This completely messes with that. That's why this is its own thing, in my opinion. Like, this is not... It's not even connected. Like, it shouldn't be connected. It should.
Well, remember,
it's garbage.
In canon, Hayden was there. Anakin was there. He helped Rey. He said, you know, balance the Force like I did. You know, like that's his one line. Remember that? Well, it was Hayden. At least it brought him back for that one line. Samir knows it's his favorite Star Wars movie.
Also, she should have been related to Obi-Wan. If they wanted to relate her to someone,
she should have been nobody. She should have been nothing. Just something from the Force. You know, like. Her own person. Like, the fact that she had to have been related to some bloodline, it only made it worse. But I agree that the most interesting way was the Palpatine way. That was a good choice.
Samir, what were you saying?
She's a Skywalker, man.
That was the worst.
It was not a bad.
Good Palpatine. Why didn't be Skywalker? Doesn't
make any sense. No, because it's the whole, you know, it's the Iron Giant theme, you know, like you are who you choose to be. You know, they did the same thing with Reva. You can be whoever you want.
So if Reva's like, oh, I'm Reva Skywalker, you'd be like, oh, I'm Reva Kenobi now, you know?
Remember this, Rey, since she had no parentage, the closest thing she had to a mother and father was Luke and Leia at different points. So that's why. She didn't do it for any other reason. She did it because she loves Luke and she loves Leia, and both of them trained her.
It's whatever.
That's why it's fine at the end. It's very weird. Like their husband and wife.
No, first of all, one actress, Carrie Fisher, was dead, so they had to like recreate her for that scene, and then so they couldn't really do much. Like, otherwise, there's so much they could do if she was alive to shoot that movie, because like they would have done like a few more scenes with her like becoming.
Also, did Rey really love Luke? She liked the idea of what Luke was, the hero, but she hated him the entire Last Jedi, which he's on.
Yeah, but in the end, he redeemed himself in her eyes because he came to help them at the fake Hoth.
See, how would she even know that's going to happen?
Oh, yeah, she was on the other side, like opening the mountain or whatever.
Through the fort. How did she know?
From the Force. She could sense it. Yeah, she at least sensed it when, literally when Luke died, she sensed it. She was like, oh, Luke died. And so did Leia. They both hosted. They both, like, used the Force to, like, find out that was happening. Something linked to Obi-Wan, because he didn't mention he had a brother in the show. So I think this was a Easter egg, and maybe, or I heard someone say he's talking about Anakin, but I think the Easter egg is that George Lucas originally, when he was first writing the script for episode 4, remember the first movie was 4, if you guys don't, most of you know that, but he actually had, Owen was Obi-Wan's blood brother, and then they removed that last second, but it was, so Owen and Obi-Wan were brothers. They removed that, and they said, no, they're not related when they started moving forward. But I think that was a joke. Because if Obi-Wan has a brother somewhere in the universe, that's kind of sick. And who is he, you know? But maybe it was Owen, after all. How do we know?
Cash. This is the cash. it was almost like, whatever. I don't even want to go into it. Rogue One is the GOAT. Rogue One's pretty good, to be honest, TBH. But it's not as good as Revenge of Sith.
See, yo, this is actually the smartest thing that Ramsam's saying, that her saying Skywalker at the end would be better if she was a nobody. Like, if she was actually a nobody and she has no, like, heritage, and she claimed Skywalker, it'd be better than her being a Palpatine than still claiming Skywalker. Yeah. Small differences.
She should have been a no one, bro. Or a Kenobi.
Yeah, but if she was a no one, she should have, then she could still claim herself as a Skywalker, but in a different way, you know? My theory before the movie came out is it's somewhere in some podcast, you can even go back and find it. I remember pre-episode 9, if you look at our podcast discussing theories about it, my theory, literally, because the movie was called Rise of Skywalker. So we're like, which Skywalker is rising here? So it could only have been Rey, unless a new Skywalker was going to show up, right? And Luke was not going to save the day. He was already dead.
Ben Solo.
So, Solo, that was one. But my other thing was that if the theme of the sequel trilogy is Let the Past Die, which they didn't do because it was a very disjointed theme, then they should have called themselves the Skywalkers, like the new Jedi. Like, they would not be called Jedi. They'd be Skywalkers, like some new thing, you know? And they would just name themselves, oh, we're the Skywalkers. Like, we're different. Kind of like the Jaegerists, but whatever. Think about it.
I'm sorry to say it, but that's pretty bad theory.
I don't care. I'm just saying I made it. It's in the past. All right, so Rogue One supremacy. Stop with the Skywalker obsession. Why does importance in Jedi accomplishments?
See, Destiny or Rogue One was very visually well made, but the best scene was a scene where the one Skywalker was in the movie. Both Skywalkers, Leia in the last second and Darth Vader right before that. Those are the best scenes in the movie.
That's true.
It's fine. I feel like Star Wars being heavy on the Skywalker lineage is literally fine. Like, there's no
problem. It's funny because the series is about that family, really. Like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, everything will have to link to it. Even the most disconnected things have to link to it somehow. I guess the Han Solo movie didn't link to it, but that movie kind of flopped too. Rogue One made $1 billion. And the funny thing about Rogue One, that entire Vader scene was reshot from a different director. Rogue One's one of those few times where the reshoots actually worked out. Like, it helped the movie better to reshoot. We actually don't know what the original vision of Rogue One was. Okay, so last topic, and this is like, it's a topic slash funny.
We didn't even answer the prompt.
Wait, what prompt?
Season 2 thing.
Okay, so wait. I'm gonna give it very quick round table format. Everyone, tell me what they want most from season 2. For me, season 2 of Obi-Wan Kenobi cannot have a meet Anakin anymore. That's done. You do it again, you're gonna keep watering it down until it means nothing. Leave it alone now. The next series should be either two things. Go the safe route, which is Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon learning the Force and going through the process of becoming a Force ghost, and maybe some small adventure with Luke Skywalker so their bond gets built, so that when the fourth movie starts, they already have a bond built. That's the easy way. Then there's the risky way, which is you rope it in and bring Mace Windu, and you do like a dual series where Windu is back and Obi-Wan, they're kind of like doing stuff together, trying to kill the Emperor. I don't know, do something interesting. Or and then the third thing is you redo the Rebel stuff with Maul, do Maul's return, show how Obi-Wan finally kills Maul at Tatooine, and cast live action Ezra Bridger, which who's going to be one of the main characters in Ahsoka anyways, so you can do that process. The last thing is you can actually make a dual series where half the series is about Obi-Wan, half the series is about Anakin, but they never meet. But I think that's not a good idea because people expect they're going to meet, and I don't want that to happen. So those are my theories. What about you, Zion?
I think the most feasible theory is the one where, yeah, he's just training with Qui-Gon and doing some kind of adventure with Luke. But that would be the least, like, interesting series because really what could they do that they – it would be like –
Go to Dagobah. He should go to Dagobah.
That would be interesting, but what's, like, the really – the what carried – it would be this show. It would be exactly like season one of Kenobi except without Vader, which is what was the best part of Kenobi, which was the best part of this season. I mean, and
– some people said you could bring Grievous back. You can do a few things, you know?
That would be so bad. He's, like, the worst, most boring, uninteresting villain ever. Like, and if they do Maul, the thing is that – I don't know if just because of animation or whatever, Obi-Wan looks much older. Obviously, seems like he's much closer to the time when – Episode 4 would start.
That one is only 5 years before. Yeah, that's only it's in canon 5 years before the movie. So it's 5 years after the show. That he kills Maul 5 years after he meets Anakin again.
See, that's the only thing where, yeah, you could just bridge that together and just do it in live action. That would be all right.
Go ahead, Danny.
What about you? What do you, Samir, what do you want in Obi-Wan season 2? Or do you even want an Obi-Wan season 2?
I don't want it. That's all. I guess they could do the Qui-Gon stuff if they do it more like the first episode of Obi-Wan, where he's just in the desert and he's not, and it's not like bad plot where he's running away, he's running badly. Then I guess it could be good. There's potential there, but they could do the Maul stuff. They already did the Maul stuff. I think it would take away from what it was in the animation, but you could just do that. Yeah, it would be fun.
You could redo Maul. You could bring Grievous back. You can go do a buddy cop adventure with Windu. You know, go meet Yoda. You know.
Remember, Yoda can't meet Windu. That's the worst.
He
can meet Windu.
He could easily meet Windu and go fight Palpatine.
Remember? That's the worst thing I heard. Palpatine can never see Obi-Wan again. What are you talking about?
You know how they try to make full series after small moments? You know, like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. And made a whole series about that called Obi-Wan Kenobi. From a cash cow perspective, they have to explain why Palpatine doesn't use his lightsaber anymore.
I've already explained it to you. Just you saw a little piece of that when Darth Vader's fighting Reva, that he, for 90% of the fight until he took her lightsabers, he was using the Force to mess around with her. Like, she was so low and nothing compared to him. And now the Emperor, he in his own mind, and he is obviously with the Force, he's like the strongest guy in the universe right now. So it's like, why would he ever have to take his lightsabers out again?
He took it out for Yoda.
Yeah, okay. That's Yoda. Yoda and Windu are like two peak.
That's Jedi why. Ever. Okay. So my
point. I'm saying you don't have to have Windu suddenly show up again for him not to use that. He's already in his head the strongest being ever. So he just has to use he can use the Force to defeat anybody. Why would he have to take his lightsabers out?
Listen, my thing, a personal plot hole for me for Obi-Wan.
What if he just lost?
Not Obi-Wan as a series, but Obi-Wan as a character, is that if he's back to being hopeful again, why isn't he hunting down the Emperor to stop the Empire? Or is he kind of giving up? Or is he thinking the long run now? Like, what's Obi-Wan's mentality right now? Like, I'm just going to wait for 10 more years for Luke? Or am I actually going to actively go stop everyone?
So, the thing is, in this show, right, he didn't technically try to turn Anakin to the light. He just said, oh, I'm sorry for everything. That wasn't a freaking attempt to turn him to the good side. I think he was just trying to see, okay, are you in there, right? And maybe
answered differently.
Yeah, but he didn't try. He legitimately didn't try to actually turn him good. So, in my opinion, if they picked up right where they left off and he tried to turn him good again, they don't have to have like a big fight or something. It can happen. You can write it in a way where it's not a fight, right?
The goodbye, they Darth. He tries one last time.
It's done now. Mm-hmm. Be like, yo, stop being stupid.
It'll be so reductive. He already said goodbye, Darth. He said that again,
and it would ruin this moment in the show.
That's actually kind of true. That's why
If he said goodbye, Anakin, I'd be like, oh, he has the hope. He said goodbye, Darth. Like, he knows you're different and you're tripping. So he's like, I'm out of here.
So now he has to say goodbye, Anakin.
He only two-timed it. he had to get out of there. He's like, nah, no more. So it was never going to work out. Now, Mace showing up, first of all, Mace should get his own series where he's hunting Vader and Vader kills him. That'd be sicker to me. But I talked with Samir and me agreed on that point.
But if Mace just randomly comes, they got to explain it, bro.
Finds Obi-Wan. He's like, let's get the gang back together. So Mace, Obi-Wan, Yoda, they pull up. They have a meetup, you know? And then they meet Qui-Gon. The four of them, they chill out.
Like, what do you mean get the gang back together? And one, he can't meet Qui-Gon because then why isn't he a Force ghost? Two, Mace Windu, he's not a threat. His hand got cut off. He got electrocuted. Let's not forget that. And then he got tossed like 100 stories. Like, what condition is he in to do anything?
He's like vibing.
He's like an old decrepit man just hiding somewhere. Then the best place for him is for Boba Fett season 2.
No, hell let no.
him get revenge for his hell father no. getting killed, or at least no. try to see what happened.
Well, Boba Fett hates... He hates Windu for killing his father, so he'll always hate the Jedi inside, but they're never going to do it. I'd rather just him go after Vader. Or do a Vader solo series where Windu just pops up.
Oh, yeah, that's so bad. Why do you want to just...
As the main boss.
No, that makes no sense, because Vader's so overpowered, you'd kill Windu in a second. Why do you want to see that? How is that a good story?
Windu, even decrepit, is a very good lightsaber wheel. He's considered the best. That's why he's the only one in the history of Star Wars to have a purple lightsaber. He's wilding.
What if
he's the only one who Windu, uses half...
He is the strongest, but...
He's the only dude... You know why he's a purple lightsaber, right? For people who don't know in the comments, he has a purple lightsaber because he's the only force wielder who can use the light side and the dark side equally. That's why his lightsaber is purple, because he represents both blue and red. He's mastered both the light and the dark. That's why he beat the hell out of Palpatine. And Palpatine lost to Yoda. I mean, beat Yoda. So that this is a canon.
Obviously, he's the strongest. We're not debating that. I'm saying that in the condition he's in, plus the many years that have passed,
we don't know what condition he's in. Chance. We don't know what condition he's in.
Also, one can make the case, I'm seeing a lot of YouTubers do this, where Palpatine actually didn't lose. He set it up in a way where he was on the ground and Anakin just happened to be there, and he knew what he was doing the entire time. And I think that actually makes a lot of sense. He could have killed him 2 seconds.
I hate that series. That theory.
Also, you know, you could just make Mace Windu a villain, right? If you bring him back, you bring him back as a villain.
He has to be hell-bent on revenge, because the last thing he remembers was telling Anakin stay back. Anakin rips his arm off. Then he kills a bunch of kids. And then all of his friends are gone. He doesn't know where anyone is. And he's like, yo, what happened? So he could be slowly hunting him down. Either way, they're not going to do it, but whatever. Samir, you have any thoughts, or should I move on?
Hey, Samir.
I think they should show Mace using the dark side to heal himself or something. Or they should show him using tapping the dark side and explore that, and then when he's better, you can hunt Vader.
He'll still lose. Yeah, explore that he's hunting Vader as a non-Jedi and a non-Sith. Like, he's just using his purple lightsaber and hunting people. He's like the opposite of Ahsoka, where Ahsoka also gave up the Jedi, and so she uses the white lightsaber. But since she's using a white lightsaber, she's still like kind of in purity. She's like a pure wielder. Whereas Windu, he could tap into the dark side because he's purple lightsaber. You know. The lightsaber color you have makes a difference on what side of the force you're using.
I just want to see Windu get killed by Vader. I want to see that happen, because it's his fault.
And it'll make for good dialogue. It'll make for good dialogue, because when Vader sees him, Vader sees him, they'll have good dialogue. Because Vader doesn't he blames Mace, but not as much as he blames anyone else. But Mace hates Vader.
He hates him.
Yeah, and Mace is against Anakin since like Phantom Menace since the beginning.
He hated him as a kid, bro. How can you hate a kid, bro?
Because he was smart for the force. You know, this guy's remember, you know, shady.
Remember, the Grand Inquisitor said that revenge can, you know, do a lot of things to heal you. That's why they heal themselves.
That was just bad writing.
But they can use that for
this is where Samir can make his points, honestly. The points he made on the chat yesterday were so good.
He did most of them here, but like, I don't know.
Which one did you make on Qui-Gon? One of the worst Obi-Wan scenes was the one where they're on the roof. They're on the roof and they're doing some shooting, right? And then Reva's like, she has her own like parkour scene, but it doesn't end up anywhere. And then she's like in a whole other place. It's the weirdest thing ever. And then Leia falls and he uses the force, and it's like, why is Chi still on the roof doing parkour if they're already on the ground?
She couldn't make it there in time, you know.
Yeah. Also, there's a scene where she heard them. Huh? She had a scene, they have like a split second where she hears them. Literally, they show that she knows where they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's on the other side of the city, you know.
She's running on the roofs, and then they're already on the ground, and she's like still on the roof. But then she meets them later at the place.
Why don't you give your big Qui-Gon point that, you know, how did he die but no one else did?
Qui-Gon, he was sweet out there. Yeah, this man died like nothing.
He folded like a paper airplane, bro.
Okay, he got stabbed, okay? And like everybody gets stabbed in Star Wars. He got stabbed and he just died instantly.
He told Obi-Wan train the boy, which is also a big mistake. Remember, Qui-Gon started all this. He could have just left Anakin alone.
I guarantee you, he just wanted to die because he didn't want to be his responsibility anymore. He's like,
all right, I'll die. He knew he made a mistake. He bit off more than he could chew. He's like, all right, I'm out of here.
because it's supposed to how Reva got stabbed twice. One is a child who knows how to survive that. That makes no sense. And then one is an adult where, okay, you can headcanon, use force or whatever, heal yourself. But Qui-Gon Jinn, who's like an elite Jedi, and he was already so with the force that he knew how to become a force ghost automatically and stuff like that. He died automatically from one simple stab. It didn't make any sense.
It was a big stab, though. It went all the way through. Like, they showed like it punctured
You think Anakin wasn't stabbing all
the way? It was more of a light stab. It was kind of like in a midway. You know, like it didn't go through the other side of the body.
Why would he do it twice? Especially after they want the same scene. Did you think that
didn't see? Yeah, but that's with Palpatine revived him or someone did.
Would it have been better if he just like took if he just killed her, like just took her off? That would probably be better. That should have been the end of it.
They shouldn't. Now she's gonna show up in other shows now. I think overall the show is fine. And I think they can do a season two. If anything, I want to see a season two so Obi-Wan can talk to Qui-Gon like, you were wrong.
But I know in the comments you're talking about, but Reva 100% did not get redeemed. She was just as much of a villain, and she did bad things. I mean, she was going to kill Leia before Obi-Wan showed up. So she is just willing to kill kids. And just because,
she didn't kill kids. In the end, you could make an intention about something. She didn't do it.
No, she had a change of heart with Luke. But before that, if Obi-Wan did not show up, Leia would have been dead. And it would have been her response on her head. So no, she is just much of a villain. I don't know how she gets redeemed because someone, Obi-Wan saved Leia.
She had intent, but she got stopped. But it doesn't matter. In the end, she didn't do it.
She left her to die. That's it. What are you talking about? She wouldn't know Obi-Wan going to come save Leia. Leia was dead already.
Remember, we're coming off a series where Boba Fett, the bounty hunter, is like the nicest guy in that show.
Okay, that was just a bad show. We already said that's the worst show ever.
He killed hundreds of thousands of people, probably.
But also, he's not inherently evil. He was a bounty hunter, so he did everything just for money. That was his whole goal.
Yeah, but suddenly he was like,
And I'm sure he would never kill a kid.
But he was too good. He was too much of a good guy in
the show. I mean, even the actor himself complained about that.
He complained. He said it was not good. He's a good actor, though. I want him to show up a lot, like in everything. Yeah, I like his actor.
Yeah, he should be everything. Commander Rex, all like the clones. Like, they should just make him like the guy.
Yeah. Either way, I want to do our final topic before we like go too far. We've been almost like 45 minutes on Star Wars. So it's going to be a point and then a question, okay? Because this is our funny topic, too. But it's also kind of like a mixed in a real topic. So 28 years ago this week, The Lion King released in theaters, right? So it's been 28. It's a 28-year anniversary of Lion King. I'm 28 years old, so yeah. This is my favorite. Lion King is probably my favorite movie ever made. Number one, there's nothing else for me outside Lion King. Everything second and third and fourth. So I'm gonna sit on the hill. I like it more than like Lord of the Rings. It's Lion King number one, and then everything else at some level. This is my favorite movie ever. Shut up. So I'm gonna start. So by saying this, I want to jump to my overall point is that we're gonna do a Disney pick'em where you can only pick we can try different ways to do this, but we can only pick two movies from this group. Everything else is to go. If you pick one, then it'll be everything Lion King. So this is the list of movies. Let me remove the banner. All right. Consider some of the most iconic Disney movies of all time. The Lion King, Tarzan, Aladdin, Mulan, Hercules, Hunchback, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, Frozen, Emperor's New Groove, Pocahontas, Tangled, Jungle Book, and Moana.
This is an obvious choice. Obvious choice.
Yeah.
I want to preface up saying Moana has some goated songs, but now let's get back into it. So you get two, okay? So what two would you choose?
Two outside of Lion King or two with Lion King? Because Lion King, we're all going to choose anyway.
No, it has to be.
No, because Umar won. Umar's a Lion King. Was it like the person who doesn't believe in it? Like the Lion King like defector or something? Like, I don't know. So, but whatever he is, you know, like some people, like if you're like you're the contrarian, so like Umar doesn't like Lion King for some reason. Which
first of all, Lion King is definitely gonna be staying. You look at all the other crap that's on there.
It's all good movies.
Lion King counts as part of the two. You only have one of the choices. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. Don't Lion King.
In my opinion, all these movies are four and above. Like they're four stars.
Yeah. So take Lion King out.
There's no misses here. There's no misses in this on this list.
Yeah, this list goes hard, I'm gonna be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Every movie's good on this list, okay?
Tarzan for me is gonna stay no matter what.
So for you,
is that because you just beat the world in the Kingdom Hearts?
No, actually. Well, yes, and because that movie's kind of like very good, like insanely good.
All right, for me, it's so obvious. Lion King, that's the easiest clear one, but Emperor's New Groove is better than everything else on the list.
I don't think I actually saw
easily.
That.
Wait, easily.
Emperor's New Groove and Lion King are two choices.
Yes, these are my two choices. Yes, yeah.
All right, Samir, bring some culture and pick two good movies.
I like Emperor's New Groove, but I put it like.
Four. I do too, but it's not one of the goats. It's really funny, but it's not one of the goats. I put Emperor's New Groove in the same category. I put like Madagascar, you know.
No, that's not Disney. Wait, yeah, chill out. What are you talking about? Emperor's New Groove is way better than Madagascar.
No, they're about the same.
No, Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove. Fourth because my it's either between Aladdin or Hercules for me. I think I'd go with Hercules probably.
This guy loves copying my list, so I was gonna use my list was gonna be. Hercules and Lion King. That was my two.
Oh, really?
You would say that. All right. Now, what's the worst movie on the list?
I know you're going to say Tangled just because I like it. But it's Jungle
Book. it's Jungle Book or Pocahontas?
What Zane said, yeah.
Zian's talking from bias, but it's okay. I'll let it go.
What bias?
You didn't see Jungle Book.
Wait on, we've seen enough to know. And Pocahontas, you can just tell is bored.
So Tarzan, we have some comments like Mulan, Emperor's New Groove. This is a tough decision. Easily anything from the top row. Plus Tangled is amazing. Frozen is kicked out. Worst is Hunchback of Notre Dame. Hercules is the worst one. We have a lot of people pulling up.
I think you'll be not really that shocked to know that I haven't seen like a lot of these. So.
All right, let's all shame Umar and Umar. Tell me every movie you haven't seen in this list.
Okay, so I've seen Lion King, I've seen Tarzan, I've seen Aladdin, I haven't seen Mulan, I've seen Hercules.
You're the worst.
You're tripping.
Okay, Hunchback of whatever. I think I've seen it, but I don't. So just remind you what it's about.
It's like the evil priest and like the gypsy woman and like Quasimodo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, move on racism.
Hunchback guy. Let's go Hunchback.
Okay, mermaid scene. Beauty of the Beast, I actually haven't seen. I just like know about it. Like, just like everybody. Because, like, whatever. Snow White, nope, I haven't seen it. Frozen, haven't seen it. I know the song because there's just a lot of kids in the house sometimes.
You're the kid.
The Emperor's. That's true. Emperor's New Groove, seen it. Pocahontas, haven't seen it. Haven't seen Tangled. Haven't seen Jungle Book. And Moana, I've seen clips.
And we heard the song in Disney World. So maybe that's the worst one on the list.
I have to admit that Charles was like on one. That's fine.
Worst one. I already gave my worst one.
Wait, what was your worst one? You said Jungle Book?
Yeah.
Bro, you're not putting respect on Bare Necessities, bro.
Bare Necessities.
Tell me, do you know any other song except that one? You don't, right? So who are you? I know
the villain. Who's the villain? Like Shere Khan or something?
Yeah.
There you go. I know things. Poor song. All right. For me, the best two are that. The worst, all these movies are kind of goated, but I might have to say Frozen 1 is the worst.
Frozen is the least cinema by far of all of them. There's a question about that.
Yeah, because the top eight are just pure cinema.
Like, honestly, you can get a good idea of what cinema just based on the poster.
That's true.
That's Frozen's CGI Fest poster is like, it's in it.
Can't hear you,
Chris. I got one more because might as well. Because Lion King is the 28th anniversary for Lion King. All right.
Oh really?
One gotta go. Okay. We never did it last week. I held it because this was going for so long.
I'll kill anyone who doesn't choose Space Jam.
Okay. One gotta go. Okay. Samir, what's going?
It's Space Jam, obviously.
Umar, what's going?
It's gonna be Space Jam, but it's really because I hate Michael Jordan. And I have to hate him because I'm a rock fan.
Whoa, what else would it be if Michael Jordan wasn't? If Michael Jordan wasn't in it, if this was LeBron's Space Jam, what would it be?
It would end up being Lion King.
Aladdin. Oh my god. There you go. I'll let Aladdin go. But Lion King, I was not gonna take it.
Because Charles wouldn't take it, I would probably pick Lion King. Just mess with
him. You would.
All right.
I would.
Hear me out. Is Space Jam that bad? It's kind of a cult classic.
He's gonna pick a Aladdin, bro. I know this guy. I hate this guy, bro.
I'm not even joking. If it came to what's the most impactful for my life, it's Aladdin has to go. Because for our childhood, it's really Lion King, Toy Story, Space Jam. That's probably the three movies
you watched. That's true, but that doesn't mean it's better.
Mafia's picking Space Jam to go. Man, I have to say Space Jam, even though I don't want to. Why are you guys doing this? Listen, Space Jam 1 is better than BBS.
Space Jam 1 is unwatchable of like the live action scenes.
I'll admit this. Space Jam 2, I apologize for everyone. Like, I apologize. I was talking from a biased perspective. That movie is garbage.
Bias? But why don't you tell the audience what score you gave it after coming out of theater?
What are you like trying to be scarred to me? Like, oh yeah, tell them who's responsible for Mufasa's death. Like,
that's exactly what's happening.
Right? I'm not telling them anything.
Then I'll tell them. He came out and he said it was a 4.5 movie. He's out of control.
Out of 100? Out of 100?
If only. Out of 5. All credibility out the window.
First of all, I said it to you in confidence and on the chat, but I never put it when I wrote my review.
Your review was 4.5, and I swear it was changed recently.
I was trying to get a retweet from
To be fair to Shriz, didn't we all give 2017 just
all he wanted was LeBron to respond to, because every other critic was like shitting on the movie.
It was from Twitter. Oh God.
Here, what's your thoughts on Space Jam 2?
Space Jam 2 is the worst thing ever. It's so bad. That's it.
Space Jam 1 has a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
They're both, to be honest, they're both pretty bad.
Space Jam 1 is way better than Space Jam 2.
But they're both bad.
That is facts. Space Jam 1 is a million times better than Space Jam 2. And that's not saying a lot, but it still is.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, In Space Jam 2, they had a better basketball player in it, so I guess it's whatever.
Did they?
Our good friend Saf has decided to donate a picture for me to put on the screen. So I was like, really? Like, you want me to do this for you? Like, all right, I can do it, but like he said, please show this to the bros. So I was like, okay, I'll do it if you want me to. So let me show you what Saf has donated. My desktop is so unclean right now. I found it. All right. So this is what Saf has contributed to the conversation because he didn't want to jump in. It's loading. It's uploading. The internet's kind of bad. It's coming through. Here we go. So Saf sent that LeBron James named worst actor during 42nd annual Golden Raspberry Awards. So, Zian, do you believe that LeBron was truly the worst actor of 2021?
He was the worst actor not just of 2021, but probably the last decade. Like, he should stay away from acting.
The whoever played his friend in that movie was the worst actor.
Okay, I'll agree with that. He was worse.
Like, whoever was playing the fake Maverick Carter, he was so bad. Umar, he's your GOAT. So, I mean, what do you say about this?
It's fine. Movie making is not for him. He needs to stay in the game.
Speaking of other bad actors, he is just as bad as Childish Gambino was a Simba.
Childish Gambino was good as Simba. What are you talking
about?
Was
horrible as Simba. He was the worst part of the movie. It dragged the movie down
to the worst part of the movie.
Like a 4.5 to like a 2.5 movie.
You're insane.
He couldn't perform a single line good.
Yeah, Lion King. The live action Lion King, honestly, was pretty bad.
They're tripping, bro.
They're tripping. I don't know what they're
talking about. What are you talking about, Samir? You admitted this in the parking lot.
The live action Lion King is bad. Yeah, I guess it's not animated Lion King, but it's Childish Gambino.
You said it was garbage,
bro. He couldn't perform a single line well. Every line was like he's a wooden actor. Even LeBron had more emotion in his very bad scenes.
Who?
Either way, I wish we could continue.
Did LeBron get like 8 points in the finals?
What does it have to do with
what are you thinking?
Whose
side are you on? I thought you were LeBron.
I'm just asking you, didn't he get 8 points in the finals of the Space Jam movie? Not in real life. I mean, in real life, he did in 2011 as well, but
Was the score like a million or something? That's how bad it was. At least the first Space Jam was like a classic game, you know?
The score was a million. Okay. In Space Jam 1, they're like, oh yeah, kind of far, isn't it? Like, they did that, remember? Like, the score went too far also.
Okay, but at least you're doing like a regular game with like some kind of cartoon stuff. This other thing was just garbage. Like, they just fake power-ups and stuff just for plot to make LeBron win. Otherwise, there's no way he should have won that game.
Isn't that how the NBA is run these days?
Yeah. So who's better? What's the middle name? SWAT camera? Or the
algorithm?
Algorithm, yeah.
That was the worst.
Actually, SWAT camera had some evil intention, but so did algorithm. Yes, but Aladdin Shiraz, that goes. So let's listen. All these movies to me are 5 out of 5.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, I'm lying. I'm lying. All right. You know what? Let me be the first to catch myself in nostalgia. We talked about this in the beginning. Nostalgia-wise, I love Space Jam 1. But if we're using media literacy criticism, Umar's favorite phrase now, of course Space Jam has to go. Aladdin is 5 out of 5. Lion King is 5 out of 5. Toy Story 1 is 5 out of 5. Clearly, Space Jam is the worst.
What's the best in the group? That's the question, I guess.
Oh, Lion King, of course. This is not a thing.
Toy Story.
No, Toy Story is second.
Lion King is the greatest animated movie of all time.
It's not.
And arguably one of the greatest movies ever all time in general.
That's true too.
But I must hate. Animated. I must hate on Lion King now because Charles likes it too much.
I like Toy Story, so I won't make fun of it.
Does that mean you also hate on LeBron?
No, because that's mutual. Also, Shiraz doesn't. Shiraz is like, how do I put this in like a very good way? Shiraz is still pretty objective when it comes to LeBron. You know, I'm not.
No, he isn't. He wrote a whole article after he won the bubble ring about how LeBron's the GOAT. What are you talking about?
Bubble ring, Forbes, yeah.
Miami Heat, bro.
I wrote a Forbes article by LeBron is the GOAT after 4 rings.
Yeah,
it was so deep.
I think I did because 2 weeks later it was a little over. So I got it in before it was too late.
you got your LeBron cult piece in there.
Actually, I'm so happy I wrote that because whatever, I can't give all the background details, but let's just say the powers that be weren't happy when I wrote it. But I still wrote it. So
he got a special call.
I got a call like, wait, what are you doing right now? Like, and then, but guess what? Maverick Carter's company reached out to me and they thanked me for the article. There you go. That's all I wanted. I wanted some recognition with LeBron.
That's what he wanted.
Yeah, I wanted Maverick Carter to reach out.
He wanted to know that LeBron may have seen the article. Maybe.
He saw it. Yeah, he saw it. Because yeah. Maverick sent it to him.
So well, he would after what you wrote. That he's a GOAT for nothing.
Shiraz is not big, but LeBron is the GOAT. Thank you.
There you go. Someone's finally talking some sense in here.
Oh, big surprise.
Oh, big surprise. All right. So I think we're out of here. I think there's nothing else. There's no other topic to do. So
I guess
we'll want it. What did you think about Obi-Wan Kenobi? Do you think a season 2 is value? What did you think about the Elvis movie? Let us know in the comments below and join the debate. From myself, from Zion, from Umar, and from Samir, we're the Faruqi Bros, and we'll see you.